Every week we're coming together. We laugh and we chatter and we have fun with Sue and me.
Hello, everypony. Welcome to Zoo and Me, episode 158.
Hello, everypony, and welcome to Zoo and Me, episode 158.
Hello, everypony, and welcome to Zoo and Me, episode 158.
Wonderful. Now, that is a new and novel intro that we have never done before.
It's true. We haven't.
Mm-hmm. We are innovating here on Zoo and Me.
And we also didn't plan this beforehand. I'm not even saying that to be a bit of like, we did plan this beforehand. No, we genuinely did not. I just heard Aki say it. I'm like, that sounds fun. I'm going to do it too.
And then when you said it, then it was like, okay, I have to do it too. So it's like the whole eternity.
Yeah, comes in threes.
Do we have to explain this?
Yes.
Russ, I think you're a bit close to the microphone.
I mean, yeah, I was for that one, yeah.
You still are.
Okay, what about here?
Oh, that's too far.
Okay, here?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, that's good. That's better.
I have to be exactly about an inch and a half away from my microphone. Got it.
What if I moved you an inch and a half to the left?
It'd be about here.
Oh. To the right?
Well, now I'm just back in the center.
To the right?
Oh, that's actually perfect.
Okay, now I'm over here.
To the left?
Back in the center.
To the left? Oh, that's actually perfect.
Over here.
To the right?
Back in the center.
Front.
What? I just move forward? I have spit on my microphone. Thanks.
Oh, no. It's not my fault. Just face the microphone.
Whenever I spit, I just get it on my pop filter. I don't usually spit, but when I do happen to spit, it gets on my freaking pop filter.
Oh, yeah. My pop filter is here. I've just completely forgot to put it there. Okay, now it's in place.
I don't think I've ever spat on my pop filter. What are you guys doing?
Just...
Oh, Hulk spit on that thing.
Yeah, you know, just give it a quick spit shine.
That's wonderful. Yeah,
just rub it in there.
Nice and moisturized.
I have a short story to tell. It's almost an anecdote, perhaps.
Oh, really? Oh. For an archive?
Yes. Today, on my way home from work, my train was stuck in a part where I don't want to be, obviously.
Yeah,
so I just kind of had to get out, wait for the next one, and about like 45 minutes to just do nothing. I saw a big sign outside of the train station that just said Mega Zoo. Of course, I had to follow that sign, and where I arrived was a wonderful like animal stuff store. Also, they had birds and stuff. That's all. I looked at fish. I looked at turtles. I looked at bugs you can buy in little plastic boxes. Those are weird.
What was your favorite thing you saw?
I saw very beautiful parakeets.
Ooh.
Parakeets are cute.
Yeah. So yeah, just that's all I did today. Work and then Mega Zoo.
Mega Zoo.
That's just my day-to-day life.
When you do the Mega Zoo.
I have, of course, already told the both of you, but I think it would be a fun thing to share on the podcast of my dream last night.
Oh, yeah.
So,
do share.
All right, so last night I had a dream that I was on I was at a film awards show, you know, kind of like the Oscars, but it wasn't. It had a different format where instead of, you know, being called up one by one to, you know, receive our rewards, every person who was in contention for an award was just like sitting around one big table, all being co-hosts and commentating.
It's insane.
And I was there as me, Brass Bulldog, for a animated film that at the very least also contained Aki, because they had a quick clip reel that showed her holding a lantern and looking down a dark hallway. So yeah, I guess it's a horror film
that we made.
And I was high off my ass the entire time, but was apparently killing it with the crowd. Out with comedy until I eventually fell asleep in my dream and woke up in real life.
Were you well rested in the morning?
I mean, meh. I was up later than I had intended, but also I think the reason I was so high in the dream is because just prior to the show starting, I had to write something down. And fun fact, your unconscious brain doesn't know how words work. It can't read or write. So any words that are in your dream are just going to be a bunch of scribbled nonsense. And most of the time you don't notice this because you're not focused on these words. But because I was actively trying to write something down, I was noticing that everything I wrote was coming out to be incomprehensible scribbles. So my unconscious self must have rationalized of, oh, we're fucked up.
Is that actually true with the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, it is.
Never heard of that.
It's actually a way you can actually like train yourself to recognize your dreaming so you can lucid dream more. If signs and stuff just don't make any sense.
Interesting. I didn't know about that. That's neat.
Yeah.
Cool dream. Being high in a dream sounds scary.
I mean, it's not really because I enjoy being high, and this was just, and I wasn't even like, I didn't even have like stage fright or anxiety about being in front of this massive crowd. So from my perspective, it was basically just being high and joking around with a bunch of people around a big table.
Yeah, wasn't there the aspect that, like you said that you were there as Brass Bulldog, so it's like there was the aspect that, like, nobody just cared that you're a zoo or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Several other of other clips that were shown were also kind of zoophilic in nature, so I'm guessing this dream world was just kind of very zoo accepting.
Yeah.
By the way, we have a comment.
We do?
We have... 3 comments.
Whoa.
That's so many.
I guess, yeah, okay. Let me start with the first one. It says, this one's by Jeet Win. Yo, not gonna lie, Jeet Win is low-key solid TVH. Like, the layout is clean and stuff, doesn't lag, for real, for real. IMO, it's like way better than most of the other sites I've tried, you know what I'm saying, lol.
What?
What?
A link to a gambling site.
Of course.
So it's a bot account, okay.
Yeah. Why is this one using, like, it's, you know, when I say not gonna lie, it's NGL, of course. So it's, why is it all, like, well, abbreviations?
Well, because that's how people talk.
Yeah, that's so hip. Like, you're not a bot if you use abbreviations and, you know.
Maybe it's, like,
acronyms and, you know.
For, like, crawlers to see, like, positive mentions of the website. I don't know.
I mean, if they put a link on some website, then that positively influences its search engine optimization.
Yeah. Anyway, now we have 2 like legit comments.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Both of them by Blade Badger.
Ooh.
Okay, so the first comment says, it's commented on the last episode, the something about Warrior. No, that was the last episode, right?
The one before.
That was the one before the last episode, right. Yes, so hi, this is my first time writing in. I binged all 156 episodes and now I'm caught up. The first 60 episodes were a slog fest. And I feel like the quality of the podcast improved during the first Euroference episodes.
Oh, thank after, you.
Well, but that was episode 3, so I guess that was the Euroference with you, right?
Oh, maybe.
So that's the one in 2023.
I mean, if you read how the comment continues.
And after Brass and Akito had met in person.
Okay, yeah.
You guys have changed a lot for the better over the years. My favorite things about the podcasts are things we like, or thing we like, D&D Smash or Pass, and talking extensively about Pokemon, specifically episode 151 and Digimon. I'd like to see more Smash or Pass segments with different franchises. I hope everyone reading this or listening to this comment are having a good week. Yeah.
What franchises could we do Smash or Pass with?
Monster Hunter. I actually suggested that at one point, I think.
Maybe we should invite Spade Slick for that sometime.
Yeah.
What about milk?
Hmm. Yeah, milk
for a
too.
Digimon or Pokemon Smash or Pass?
Yeah, obviously we can do that.
Did we already do a Pokemon one?
Like, yeah, to like skip some time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we can totally do that. Also, we should do a thing we like more. It is a pretty fun segment, I suppose.
Mayhaps.
Yeah, I feel
perhaps
like
we can do it at the end of this episode.
No, we got the notes. But I guess we can do both.
I have notes. Yeah. I mean, we can do both, but the thing we like doesn't take too much time.
All it means is that we just have more content. So
I mean,
more
yeah,
content.
Less,
like, no.
I mean, I guess we kind of talk about like what we've been enjoying recently, like kind of naturally, but we can call it a segment.
Yeah, sure. The second comment by Blade Badger is also on the same episode. It says, I also forgot to mention, I never got to read Animorphs or Warrior Cats. I remember specifically in elementary and middle school flipping through the different R.L. Stein Animorphs books just for the amusing flipbook transformations in the corner of the books. As for Warrior Cats, I remember being on YouTube years ago as a tween, seeing a bunch of Warrior Cat OC animations and being like, damn, those cats are really hot. I think I have a king for Warrior Cats OCs. I'm interested in acquiring the audiobooks. Send help?
I mean, you can also get the audiobooks just like on Spotify or something.
They're also just like straight up on YouTube. So,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Don't even have to pay for that.
Nice.
Yeah. I should probably point out that like R.L. Stein did not write Animorphs. It was K.A. Applegate. R.L. Stein wrote Goosebumps.
Yeah. I was like, hey, really? When I heard R.L. Stein, like, hey, oh, Goosebumps. Wait, they wrote Animorphs?
No, it was K.A. Applegate who wrote Animorphs. But it did have, like, the flipbook transformation animations, like, in the corner. Like, when you go through the book, it's just, like...
Yeah, I remember seeing them in the school library when I was a kid, but I never picked them up. I'm like, oh, that's weird, and then moved on.
Yeah, I don't know. Those Animorph books just never appeal to me. They look weird.
I mean, they are really fucked up, like, plot-wise.
Yeah.
But K. Applegate is such a based author. She has a transgender daughter whom she fully accepts.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. But, like,
and,
the covers are just...
supportive. I mean, yeah, the covers are so weird, and they are so memeable.
Some people never change. Some do.
It just reminds me of like that one meme that where there was like the Animorphs cover, with like the horse morph going on, and then it just says when the ivermectin kicks in.
Okay, I like this one. This one's cute. It's just someone turning into, Falcon? It just says be afraid.
Yeah. It's a red tailed hawk, I think.
Ah, same thing.
Yeah, with the books being kind of fucked up. It makes me I believe I've actually talked about it on the show before. Like one of my favorite book series in high school was called Gone. Like the first book was called Gone, and it was just kind of called the Gone series after that. But the basic premise of it is that there's this small town in Northern California that all of a sudden this weird energy dome appears over, and everyone above the age of 15 disappears. And like initially it's kind of like, you know, standard, you know, oh, we have to band together and help each other out. And then it gets really fucked up.
I can imagine.
With like proper, like there's also like some superpower aspects to it but like the kids end up going to war several times. There's alien monsters that just like there's like these worm things that live in the ground and can like burrow into you and just eat you from the inside out. It's fucked up.
the fuck? What is that book? Like, what does that have to do with the premise?
That's also Annie Morse, though.
I mean, the entire thing is the large overarching story is trying to figure out how to remove the dome and what's causing it. If anyone is wanting to read these books and not be spoiler, skip ahead a little bit because I'll spoil it here unless you two don't want me to.
I don't care. I don't think I'm going to be reading these books.
Fair enough. So basically what happened is an asteroid fell near this town and landed underneath nearby a nuclear reactor. And the radiation had caused organisms within this asteroid to evolve into this alien super intelligence type thing that is called the Gaia Phage or World Eater. And its plan is to basically start by consuming the town before moving on to the rest of the world.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds batshit insane when I just explain it like this.
It does.
But it's genuinely really well written and has some really good character development and explorations of trauma, but it's also so fucked up.
I mean, that sounds like Annie Morse. Oh, by the way, the spoiler segment is over, pretty much. In case you were wondering what they're talking about, spoiler segment over, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a series I read in high school.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, there's a lot of children's books with, like, some really mature themes, there's violence and stuff like that. Warrior Cats, we talked about Warrior Cats. I read Aki kinda encouraged me to do it. I read The First Wings of Fire. It's so good, but it also had some really messed up like descriptions of like how different characters died.
Oh damn.
I am very excited to read book two though.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely.
But first we have to keep reading Warrior Cats.
Yeah, get to the end of arc two and then we can get a little bit of Wings of Fire out of the way. Keep things interesting.
Which one is Wings of Fire again?
It's the one with the dragons. It's like, the author, Tui Sutherland, is one of the people under the pseudonym Erin Hunter.
Yeah, okay.
But it's essentially a children's book about dragons or dragonets.
Neat.
The dragonets are coming. They're coming to save the day.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of like there was a book I read like the first. There was a series I read the first book of, and then never read anything else from it. But like I don't remember what it was called at all, and have never found any reference to it since. And the basic premise of it is just like, hey, some kids living in a rural town discover that dragons are real and each have a dragon, and that's all I really remember about it.
Dragons are really okay.
Yeah, they just like go into a cave, find a couple of eggs, and two dragons hatch out of them.
Cool.
Yeah.
I wish that were me.
Yeah,
I actually still have, I don't know, I feel like I've always liked dragons. Like, I used to have the Draconology book or whatever. And then I actually have, like, an actual full novel in that series. Like, the Draconology book is, like, it's essentially, like, information about dragons and, like, the different types of dragons that exist. It's kind of like a... it's kind of like in the stories, and it's not like dragon legends as it is. It's kind of like just this world that we created. Like, this is what dragons are like in this world that we created. Like, it's not actual dragon legends, but they are, I guess they are kind of based on dragon legends or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You know what I want?
What do you want?
I want something that is akin to Harry Potter in themes, but isn't Harry Potter, because I don't want all the J.K. Rowling shit, you know? I want a version of it that I can enjoy without guilt, because it's genuinely a concept I enjoy, but I don't want to consume any Harry Potter content now.
There are, like, a lot of similar things.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the theme you're looking for exactly? Is it like magic?
Just kind of specifically magic school kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot
wizard,
of those.
Wizard school, where there's a secret world of wizards and stuff like that.
I don't know how good the alternatives are.
I think there was like one like highly recommended. I don't remember what it was called. Like there was like one highly recommended series that had the whole thing of like a secret wizard world and like a school, and it was like essentially someone who discovered that they had magical powers and so on.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about the Earthsea series, for example.
But yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. I've been wanting to read or listen to that one.
Have either of you watched/listened to Dimension 20?
Yeah, no. I've seen the first two seasons.
Yeah, there's actually a couple of seasons of Dimension 20 where it's the entire setting is basically a parody of Harry Potter, and they're just constantly taking the piss out of it. It's very fun.
Yeah, I've been wanting to listen to that one. It seems really cool.
Oh, it's really good, and they made a sequel. Whole series to it is our sequel season to it, but they're great. They're genuinely two of my favorite seasons of Dimension 20 because it scratches that itch while also openly recognizing that yeah, Harry Potter fucking sucks and we're going to make fun of it at every opportunity.
Hell yeah. I mean, okay, I forgot what I wanted to say. I'm sorry.
Now I want to re-listen to them.
I do see like a lot of fan art of that, of those seasons in particular. Yeah. Like from all the ones I've seen, mostly that one.
I think it's also so good because Brennan is a player in that one and not the DM. So we get to see his creativity of being focused all on one guy.
Oh.
Don't worry, the DM they have for it is also really good. I forget her name though.
Mm.
Yeah, Brendan plays a character named Evan Kelmp.
Kelmp.
And his backstory is basically just he's the most depressing person on earth.
I'm looking at art of Evan Kelmp. They look sad.
Yeah, he starts off extremely depressing because he's just like so cursed. Like he's just genuinely living with like one of the worst curses one can imagine.
What is the curse?
Basically it's a combination of things. His shadow is rebellious, kind of like Peter Pan, but it's also kind of actively evil, and he has to try to control it. Dark magic actively seeks him out constantly.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm looking at like art of it, and that's making sense with the shadow now.
Yeah.
Insane.
It's so good.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna look into getting Dropout TV again because I wanna watch this now.
I mean, if you want to like watch off of my account, I'll let you.
I'm gonna ask Chesky first because I know he has a two, but sure, later.
All right.
Ooh, I like this fan art.
Ooh, send.
Well, I don't know what he is supposed to look like, but stylistically, I like this one. Also,
you.
One kind of reminds me of the Doctor from season one of Doctor Who.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, that's actually the design that's used in the series.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Are we out of topics now?
I don't know. We can keep talking about different Dimension 20 seasons. I've watched a lot of them.
I haven't watched any of them.
Well, good. Then I can have revenge for all the times I've sat through things, discussions of series I know nothing about.
But it's not a discussion if only you're talking about it.
Yeah, fair. But it is revenge.
Hey.
What can you set out?
We can use the thing we like idea, I think. Like, if we run out of ideas, we can just talk about things we like, I guess.
We already did, but yeah, we can do a thing we like, and then
this entire thing has just been discussing things we like.
I mean, that's essentially the whole podcast, I feel like.
That's kind of fair, yeah.
I mean, we discussed books. Have you been gaming recently?
Yes, I have been. I've actually been getting back into Rimworld.
Oh, nice. Rimworld. Okay.
Yep, and all of the war crimes that come with it.
What's Rimworld?
It's basically a colony builder game set on a distant planet in a universe where faster than light travel doesn't exist. So the only form of transportation between worlds is sleeper ships.
Hmm.
And there are various different ways you can start your playthrough, but the standard one is that there's three people that were on a ship that was exploding, and they escaped in drop pods, and now you have to survive. And this game allows you to do a lot of different things that are various levels of fucked up. For instance, one of the best ways to make money in the game is to create a gigantic drug empire. And hell, it's also just genuinely good for diplomacy because if you give someone a gift, it's based purely on the monetary value, how well it's received. And since drugs are worth a shit ton of money, you can just drop cocaine on literally everyone and they'll all love you.
It's very realistic.
As it works, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it totally worked out with opium in China.
Yeah, exactly. You get it.
That's how it went. You know, they gave opium to the Chinese and suddenly they were so happy to have the British there.
That's how you build
totally
lasting relationships.
Eight wars or something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, occasionally you'll be targeted by raids from other factions, and you can capture the attacking enemies, and you can keep them as prisoners. You can recruit them for your colony, or you can harvest their organs and sell them into slavery.
Oh, great.
And also genuinely, that's just the best way to level up the medical skill. To just cut off someone's legs, replace it with a peg leg, and repeatedly remove and add it back.
Do you not feel like morally conflicted doing that?
It's a video game, so no. But genuinely, I've done some pretty fucked up things in Rimworld.
You're metagaming. I can't believe it.
Yeah, the playthrough I started just recently. I started doing that thing to level up my doctor pawn. The characters in the games are called pawns, I was doing that because one of them had asthma, and you can fix asthma in the game by just replacing their lungs. Oh. So first I defeated a raid, stole a couple a guy's lungs, and then I needed to level up the medical stat on my doctor so that he could perform the surgery safely. So the next raid that happened, I captured one of them and then basically removed all of his limbs, replaced them with wooden versions. And, this guy had white hair, so I thought he was an old guy. No, looking at when I looked at his, like, his character menu, this guy was 16. I was doing this to a teenager.
Oh, no.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, no.
Look, there's no visual indicator of how old any pawns are apart from hair color. So the white hair, I'm just like, oh, it's just an old guy. He's
what
near the end of his
fuck?
Life anyway.
I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense. Like, if you keep doing the same surgery over and over again, you will get better at it.
But it's literally just replacing limbs repeatedly. How is that going to help you replace lungs? But...
you know how to remove things. You get good at removing.
Also, same thing.
Also, the reason you do it with the limbs is because if you do it with the organs, it gives you your colonist a stat debuff, or not a stat debuff, a mood debuff. Because they do feel guilty about removing people's organs, but it's perfectly fine to make them a quadruple amputee.
Yeah, that's fine. That is so fucked up, though.
Yeah.
Insane video game. I'm not going to play that.
That's fair. But yeah, RimWorld's basically just known as War Crime Simulator by a lot.
I've heard this fucking... War Crime Simulator.
It's a genuinely fun game. It just gives you way too much freedom with what you're allowed to do with little consequence.
Maybe I will try it. How long is like a run, basically?
It can be as long as you want, really.
Or do I just get killed at some point?
That is how most runs end. Yeah.
Yeah, because when I played Stellaris, I was really enjoying it. I was like, I think 10 hours into it, then like. An alien species invaded my base, or like, you know, my whole system, all of my systems instantly. Yeah. And I was just kind of like,
yeah, Stellaris hasn't been my favorite of Paradox's games personally. Like I recognize I didn't enjoy the amount of customizability you're allowed with it compared to other Paradox games and how different it is. Because, you know, every run has a different galaxy you're conquering. Mm-hmm. But it's just not for me, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
I prefer the court politics of Crusader Kings, or the ruthless expansion of industrialism in Victoria.
I should play Crusader Kings at some point.
Yeah, you should. I'll play it with you if you'd like. I can help keep you alive.
No, that's cheating.
It's not cheating. It's called an alliance.
No, that's cheating.
Or you can just be one of my vassals, and anyone trying to conquer you has to go through me.
Daddy,
of course you'll have to. No, of course you'll have to pay me taxes, and
maybe you'll be Aki's vassal.
I've been usurped.
I would usurp you. Screw you.
How rude! How rude!
What have you done to me besides take my money?
I'm going to start a murder scheme on all of your friends and family.
What the fuck? Not cool.
Yeah, honestly, they changed the way schemes work like a few updates ago. And at first, like the old system, it was like stupid easy to just get away with murder every time. Now you actually have to have good stats and have good good co-conspirators working for you. But if you do get it, it's like almost instant every single time. Like it takes a day to finish a murder plot now if you have the right stats and setup. There was one game I played with some friends. We were doing a run where we started off in China, and I was basically being a bandit lord, because one of the things you can do is you can choose to be an unlanded adventurer, and you can choose to just be a bandit, basically. And so I became one of the most powerful people in all of China without holding any land. And in order to keep China destabilized and from uniting, every time a power got too big, I just assassinated leader after leader after leader so it would collapse.
You messed up, dude. You're messed up. You can't do that to a country. That's evil.
I mean, feudalism and empires are not countries in the traditional sense that we think of nowadays, but it's more of doing it to an entire culture.
That's fucked up. You can't do that to an entire culture. That's worse.
It's actually several cultures, because Chinese wasn't unified at the time.
Thank God, what is wrong with you? That's
definitionally genocide.
No, I'm just killing the leaders.
I guess it's the opposite of genocide.
Yeah, just kill the leaders.
Just ensuring anarchy.
Just kill the rich. Kill the rich. It's fine then.
It's not even the rich. It's just the powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, usually they are the rich and the powerful, you know?
True. That's true. That's true. They do often end up one and the same. But if it makes you feel better, you can also become basically a missionary and just spread religion around if you want.
No, I don't.
So either you go around killing leaders and getting anarchy instated, or you are a religious zealot, essentially.
not necessarily. I mean, you can also be you can also be what's called a knight errant, which is you're basically just like a folk hero. In order to become a folk hero, you have to take a bunch of missions that help people. You have to put down bandits. You have to fight off beasts that are killing off people's flocks, stuff like that. What are some other options for the adventurers? I know there's a few more, I think.
Which game is that again?
Crusader Kings 3.
Crusader Kings 3. So, yeah, I didn't expect there to be that much variety in it, honestly. I thought it was just...
Oh, yeah, you can still be standard feudal kingdoms, but there's also other government types as well. Like, you can play in the Byzantine Empire and have to deal with their special administrative system, where the emperor basically appoints governors, and you are playing as a member of a noble house trying to compete for titles from the emperor.
Huh. Sick.
Yeah, it's actually very fun to basically set yourself up as an extremely powerful governor and basically control the empire from the shadows. Why be the main target when you can simply control whoever's in power?
Yeah.
It's very base, actually.
Yeah, that sounds...
You can play in China and claim the Mandate of Heaven. You can play in Southeast Asia and have their mandala system, which is basically you are a living god and you have to prove how holy you are. You can be a shogun in Japan. You can be the great Khan of the steppe, you know. It's a lot of options.
Yeah.
All right.
What have you been playing?
I don't know. I guess I've been playing Palworld again, but I'm sure I talked about it back then. It's 1.0 release, yeah. As people know, I've been lusting over my chillet. It's kind of all I've been doing.
Naturally.
Besides that, I've just kind of been... like really busy recently.
I love the disparity of our descriptions of the games we're playing.
Yeah, I'm just kind of playing the games where the sexy creatures are.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't require much thinking. I'm building my base. I'm collecting like exploring the island. It's kind of all I'm doing.
Yeah, but in fairness, Palworld can also be equally fucked up fairly fucked up if you want it to be.
You can enslave humans. It's fine.
I've done that. Yeah, fine.
You can enslave all the creatures.
I think the funny thing is that humans are just genuinely kind of shit in the game.
They're true.
Can do it, but but they're difficult to catch. They can't do all that much, and their stats suck.
It's just funny to see essentially a boss, a human, just kind of like hanging around in your camp and doing work. It's just funny to see, but they're really shitty.
Yeah. Average boss when you fight him versus when he joins your party.
Even as a boss, they kind of suck because you just kill them in like 5 shots. So I don't know. But yeah, the other people I'm playing on the server with are like way over level because they have way more time to play compared to me. So I'm like level, like I think 29. They're like level 70 something.
Wow.
And like just now before we started playing, I logged in to just check in to see what my base is doing. And I was attacked by like level 60 raid. And all of my pals died and my base burned down.
No.
Well, the wood parts, which was just decorative. But still, it's like, why?
How could they do this to you?
Besides that, I haven't been playing much, honestly. Just tired. I'm so excited for Euroferns, though.
Oh, Euroferns is soon.
Velo, what have you been playing?
I think what I've been playing the most recently is Tainted Grail, The Fall of Avalon.
Right, that looks really cool.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's like, gameplay-wise, it's really similar to Skyrim, but it's like, I guess it's more like dark fantasy, and it's like Arthurian legends. It's really interesting. I've been enjoying the interactions I've been able to have in the game. Like, I convinced one side quest boss character, like a boss of a side quest. Like, instead of fighting him, I just convinced him to kill himself.
You got to do that, yeah. So does it have the same like exploration stuff as Skyrim did?
It's like you can enter, like there's like a lot of dungeons. Like it's necessarily not even something that you have to go to on a quest or something. Like there was like one quest that took me to like one dungeon, and then I noticed like, oh, there's another dungeon right here. And they just like, it surprised me because I found another NPC there who gave me another quest to do. And it was a really fun little side quest.
Hmm.
Yeah, it actually rewards you for exploring the environments. And there's like a lot of different things that you can find. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely want to play this. This looks super cool.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. Tainted Grail, The Fall of Avalon.
It's a very generic name, though.
Yeah, it does. It is.
Yeah, and actually just last night I tried the Outlast Trials, the co-op Outlast game. It's super fun. It made me scream a few times.
Is it that scary?
There's a psychosis mechanic that makes you see things, and it's like so funny when like you're playing with someone and you don't see anything, but your freaking friend starts screaming randomly.
That does sound really fun.
I forget which game it is, but there's another game that has a similar system. You know, where there's a hidden sanity stat, and if it gets too low, you'll start. It's Barrow Trauma. That's it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, if you can start hallucinating if you take the wrong meds, and you'll start seeing fires appear. You'll see monsters first charge you and then disappear.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's another game that I also played. It's like a similar like a co-op horror game called The Mount Omen of Cthulhu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been wanting to play that.
Yeah, and apparently there's also like a kind of a sanity mechanic in that, because like you can like I heard like in a review, like you can like find a rifle somewhere, for example. And then your friend just sees that you're just carrying around a stick, actually. But you don't know that until you try to shoot it, or your friend tells you that, yeah, you're just carrying a stick. Yeah, I guess that's what we've been playing recently then.
Yep, yeah. That's what we've been playing.
Indeed.
Yeah, I've been also busy, but luckily I have vacation time soon. I will be going to Germany to visit Aki, and I'm so excited for that.
I'm also excited for that. Just a few days away.
Mm-hmm.
Brass, why don't you come over?
I'm poor.
You don't have to be. But yeah, I'm also honestly too poor.
I wish I could.
One day.
One day.
Yes.
One day you will live here, and then we will see each other all the time.
Evolution.
But yeah, sad. But you know what time it is?
What time is that?
It's time for you to get a watch.
Oh, shut up.
Time for you to go back.
Time for the notes.
Moves you 5 feet to the left.
No.
No, I was talking that. I said that to Velo.
Okay.
Okay. 5 feet to the left. Oh, that's a lot to the left.
Yeah, that's what you get for making the time for you to get a watch joke.
Yeah. It's throwback. I'm like OG fan of the podcast.
You are OG fan. That's true. When did you start listening?
I don't even remember.
Fake fan.
I didn't follow, but like it was like kind of similar to to Blade Badger, where I just like binged the episodes.
You just listened to all of them?
Yeah, I binged all of them.
How was that experience?
I actually really like listening to this because, like, okay, there was this whole thing, like, I had caught up with Zero Than Thou, and they only released episodes, like, once a month. So it's like, then I just saw, I think I was actually stalking Milk's Twitter or something, and there was, like, some, like mention of the podcast.
Yeah, because Milk has been on a few times.
Yeah. I think that's like where it came from.
We should have
Milk
on again.
There's another Zoo podcast. It was like, okay, I'm gonna listen to this. Oh, the shit, that's a lot of episodes, and there's gonna be more release while I'm listening. This is amazing. And then I just binged all of them, and then I caught up, and it's like, now I had to wait weeks. I had to wait a week for the next one.
Not a whole week.
I mean, that's better than our release schedule's been, you know, recently, you know.
I mean, yeah, we've been just really busy, but like, I hope that we can guide. I mean,
yeah, we do episodes now and then. Hey, it's still
this is the second week in a row that we've recorded. So
let's see how long we can keep it up.
Yeah,
let's try. I mean, there's gonna be like. Yeah, there's the Euro reference in between and, like, me being in Germany. Like, of course, we can record when I'm in Germany, but, like, it's
probably not going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to mess up schedules.
Yeah, because, like, we don't have a lot of time to spend together and then, like, sitting down to record a podcast. Oh, my God.
I'll record a solo episode.
That's a good idea. Just, like, pull out, like, a joke book and just read all of them.
I'll revive Bud Island.
No.
Oh no, Bud Island.
That episode was so bad. I love it, but it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's a classic. It's classic Zoo and Me.
It's classic because how shit it was.
Yeah.
It was still fun to record, but God, yeah, was not thinking about how bad it would be to listen to.
Because, yeah, God, you know, I tell this every time, but I do remember being on the bus listening to this episode, like, on my way to work, being like, what the fuck am I listening to? Just keep saying, like, Butt Island, and I'm just like, what?
It wasn't just Butt Island. There was other funny names. That's just the one that's most memorable and we keep referring to it as.
The Butt Island episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... that was an experience to listen to. But I listened to... I enjoyed having something to listen to, like, in the background when I was doing other things. And then when I was caught up, I just decided to leave comments on every single episode.
Good. We enjoyed it.
Yeah. And now you're a host, so how does that feel?
It was interesting. It feels like I've been promoted. I was the unpaid intern ideas person, and now I'm the host.
The unpaid content creator.
Holy shit, I'm technically a content creator. Whoa.
We're all content creators. So, all right, I think it's time for the notes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
The episode we are summarizing today is episode 36, titled Akito's Gone, smiley face. This one was published April 17th, 2023, because I figured that it's probably good to put the date there so people know when this was.
That reminds me of when people, like someone asked the podcast if I had died because of that episode title.
Oh, no.
Why would we put a smiley face on that one?
That's a frowny face.
Oh, it's a frowny face?
I thought you said
smiley face.
Wait, it is a smiley face, though.
Pretty sure it was a... Wait, let me see.
I have the episode open right here.
Oh, yeah,
I
what?
Think it was gone, okay. Smiley face.
Okay, interesting. So, in the metadata of the podcast, there is no face at all. But if you go to the website, there is a smiley face. What the hell?
That's God, smiley face.
Oh, wait, actually, there was another podcast episode called Aki is Dead. So that was actually...
Oh, yeah, that's
what... I mix it up.
Yeah.
And next we have to have an episode called Brass is Dead.
Okay, that can be this episode's name.
It's immediately, you start listening and it's immediately disproven.
Clickbait.
So when was the episode uploaded again?
April 17th, 2023.
God, so long ago.
Yeah.
All right, let's
see. Over 3 years ago. Yeah, this was a Taro episode. Aki was somewhere gone. Aki has been replaced by Taro.
Oh, yeah, because that was a only me and Taro episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just you and Taro. Yeah, there was this whole thing. Like, of course, like Taro had the whole thing of bringing topics on whenever on the podcast. And the question or the topic for this time was, why isn't more stuff like created for like the zoo community, like more zoo projects being created? Because like there's been like the magazine and Zoo and Me really is kind of close to one another. So the question was like, why is it more stuff being created?
And there still isn't really that much more stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, Brass back then thought that it's because people couldn't think of what to create, really. And Taro also pointed out that there isn't even much new art that is, like, community-oriented. Like, feral porn, like, porn art, like, that's a lot. There's a lot of that, but, like, just community-oriented art. Like,
I think, I mean, I've mentioned this before, but there's just a lack of enthusiasm, I think. Or...
Yeah. Yeah,
just a centralized community. So it's like, you know, who are you going to make fan art for? Your friend? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it's like community oriented. Like, it could just be like, I don't know, Zoo Pride art or something like that.
I mean, I know some people have made that.
Yeah, and I feel like now that I actually have the art accounts, I can actually make something. Like, I know that like some platforms that I have accounts on actually completely accept zoo iconography, even in the Pride context. Looking at you, E621. Mm.
I mean, in fairness, E6 is literally owned by a self-admitted zoo, so
it's so weird that they ban.
Yeah, but like, they're not proud about it. They're like, "Ooh, I'm a zoo fan. This is bad." Like,
they've really been quiet about it since they became successful.
Yeah,
like, man, you kind of threw us under the bus here, man. Yeah, at least we can still have the iconography on the site, you know.
We cannot. If it's like a positive thing, it's removed from E6.
Oh, I thought it was allowed to be there, but the person who made it would be banned.
If you look up zoo file iconography on E621 right now, everything you will find is like the negative things.
Yeah,
like burning the flag and stuff like that.
My, that really did throw us under the fucking bus, okay.
The art I had with just my persona holding a zoo flag has also been deleted.
Boo.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Okay. The next question was essentially from Tara was, how do we inspire people to make more zoo stuff? And... It was kind of funny to listen to because Brass was trying to solve this mathematically and Taro was constantly going like, I hate math.
Real.
It was like, if we take a variable X and then we need a constant.
I don't remember doing this at all, but I think it's very funny that I was torturing Taro with math.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
It does sound very you.
Honestly,
because
yeah.
Like you couldn't solve it sociologically, so you tried to do it mathematically.
Actually, it makes me think of have you heard of Tropico? Or do you know
yes.
of it?
Yes.
In Tropico 5, I believe it is. Every time you research a new technology, you get a little pop up blurb from your assistant Penultimo, and it's generally very comedic. And one of them is math or something, and it's like for being able to have some education buildings, I think, or managers for education buildings. It says, we have discovered a form of torture so inhumane that we could only do it on our own citizens after they have had years of preparation.
Gosh.
Honestly, there's a video that just has all of the technology researched bits from Tropico 5, and I've watched through it because it's just genuinely that funny. Like once you research tanks, the story behind that one is that Penultimo and a few Tropican soldiers went to Europe, stole a tank, conquered the entirety of Europe temporarily until it ran out of gas, and then they had to run. Then they had to escape and get home with the tank.
Okay.
Okay, that sounds weird.
It sounds so wacky.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, Tropico Ho is a game that does not take itself too seriously. At least Tropico 5. I mean, Tropico 6 also doesn't take itself too seriously, considering that you steal national monuments. That's like the main gimmick of the game.
It's dumb.
You can steal Stonehenge, you can steal the Hagia Sophia, you can steal the Statue of Liberty.
That's stupid.
Anyway, I have a lot of notes, so I should probably continue.
Yeah, let's do it quickly.
Okay. I'm hungry. Yeah. The terror solution is essentially like, first need to decide if the community needs more content. Of course, it's like, okay, there's like a little bit of content, like you don't need to consume all of it. But there should be something for different audiences. And like there still isn't a lot. Apparently Taro wanted to do like a monthly zoo news kind of deal, like a podcast or something. But I don't think that ever happened.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know what you would do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's like not a lot of like news because like of how I guess underground the community is kind of.
And also how fragmented the community generally is.
Yeah, like how do you do journalism within the community?
Yeah,
it's so fragmented.
You're gonna be doing news reports on like the same 20 people, and that's about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, there are spaces that have, you know, hundreds or even thousands, but oftentimes every time I'm there, it's like the same core group of people who are interacting.
I mean, yeah, true. Like there's like so many members, but like then it's like only like the few are actually interacting there. So yeah, I get it. There's actually plenty of content on the anti-zoo site though. And Taro actually pointed out that it's actually like really difficult to create content focused on hating. Like you can barely say anything new, really. Like apparently, like what was his name? Like Grimm or something like that.
Oh, yeah, Grimm.
Grimm could just like if he wanted to, he could just like make weekly videos reading the Zui.bop magazine articles and hating on them. But like there wouldn't be really anything new.
Like, oh God! Remember when Grimm found Zoo and Me? Didn't watch any of it. Was just like, I don't actually know what's in there. They may be okay, but they're zoos, so it's bad.
Yeah, no. Actually, I have that in my nose right next to. What were you saying, Naki?
I just said yep.
Yep.
Because it was such a stupid video.
Yeah, I think I watched it at some point. It was just like a side dimension on the video of fucking Zoo and Me. There was that one stupid video where it was like a little bit more in-depth, and then like they had like a really difficult time actually finding anything to criticize the podcast for.
Yeah, I mean, even we actually don't talk about it too much, other than just like offhand references to enjoying different creatures.
Yeah,
yeah,
but yeah, Taro actually encourages anyone interested in interested or like feeling creative to start a zoo project.
Yeah, I think that still applies.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you feel interested in starting something, like, definitely don't let your dreams be dreams and so on.
Just do it.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And I did do the hand motions as well, just to let the listeners know.
Good. I heard it.
I'm glad.
You were talking about AI and other technologies such as NFTs that could have some amazing uses, but are kind of ruined by how they're actually utilized and by whom.
I don't know what... I don't feel like I would have ever said NFTs have a practical use. They've always been stupid.
I mean, like, I mean, like, the way they were used was just, like, you thought that you owned a fucking JPEG or something. Like, that was that, but, like... like actually signing something onto the blockchain, like that's pretty good idea.
Yeah, because all you really owned was just like a specific link to that image. That's all you owned.
Or more like your name was next to like that link on the blockchain.
Not even really that. Like, the best way I've ever heard described was you walked into the Louvre, a shady guy told you could buy the Mona Lisa, and then after you hand him the money, he brings you to a broom closet where it says, "Has Mona Lisa owned by you?"
Yeah. What else is here? Okay, Taro actually brought examples of AI. Like, for example, video game NPCs that could have unique responsive dialogue, not requiring humans to work to put... Yeah. Oh yeah, there was also like the whole thing of like if AI was like actually put to good use, like humans would have more time to put on the creative endeavors, but that would require like UBI and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Taro was a lot more optimistic about like this more utopian future enabled by technology, but you were a little bit more pessimistic that you said that society cannot get there as it is currently, and I agree with that.
Yeah, especially how things have gone. I think I'm currently right on that front.
Yeah. AI, the way it's been developing,
The evil machine.
The evil machine.
But I'm the good machine.
You are the good machine. Bet.
Yes. Because okay. My crimes are only in non-existent worlds.
I believe you.
I have not murdered several Chinese emperors.
Only in video games. There was also like a topic about like questions to ask politicians. And Brass would ask Olaf Scholz what he thinks about zoos. And Taro thought that was boring. And when Taro asked you, like, wait, no, you asked Taro, like, what they would ask from Joe Biden or any future president, like, and... Taro responded with, "Which dog breed is the most fuckable?" Ask Joe Biden that, yeah.
It's a good question, honestly.
Yeah.
What do you think Joe Biden would respond with?
German Shepherd.
Because of Bo.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They have sex.
I think I think these days he would respond with, "Ah."
Yeah, true.
He'd fall asleep. And if you ask Trump, and if you ask Trump, he would also fall asleep
and shit himself.
That too. Again with the historical things from Brass, Abraham Lincoln, the rumor. That he had a gay lover. Human, unfortunately.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, it was pretty much just entirely that he and a colleague at one point traveled to a town and they stayed in the same hotel room, which only had one bed.
Yeah, that was it. That was it, yes. So she was sharing a bed for like multiple nights.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how long the visit was anymore. I just remember that's the general context of it.
Yeah.
My cat has decided to join us today.
Yay!
Eenie!
She did just meow a bunch, but probably wasn't picked up.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
But she is now on the desk and on my keyboard. So.
Eenie, meenie, miny, mo. Or eenie, meenie, miny, meow.
Eenie, meenie, miny, meow.
Meow, that's right.
Yeah. Only a few more notes to go.
Let's do it. I am so hungry.
Okay. Anecdote. Brass was talking about, like, okay, this was April, so April Fool's was earlier, and you were talking about the April Fool's thing where you and Taro impersonated each other on social media.
Yeah, that was fun.
Good old times.
Yeah. And Taro's anecdote was that there was like a surprise interview coming up on Zoo.pop. And I looked it up, actually. It was Veronica Celesto, the zoo porn actress.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was big news.
Yeah. And after you were technically done, there was like one more topic where you were like talking about missing things after going vegan. Like, Taro was missing just the ease of buying things like frozen pizzas from like multiple different brands. And you mentioned that you would miss cheese.
Yeah.
I feel you on that because like it took quite a while for me to get over the cheese, but like I guess the vegan alternatives are really good these days, so
some of them are, just not the cheese. The cheese is not very good.
The vegan cheese alternatives, like, well, it depends on the cheese alternative, but I actually quite like some of them.
I haven't had a single good one yet.
Damn.
We should try some when you're here.
Yeah, we could. I mean, there are some really good ones in Finland. The ones that I actually had when I was there, I liked the cheddar that I had when I was there last time. That I put on bread. I think it was really good.
All right, more notes.
That was all.
Oh, that was all?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's time for someone to... Well, first of all, thank you for compiling these notes. It's very kind of you.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. It's nice.
It's far more effort than either of us have put in.
How is it just listening to an old episode every week?
I don't think it's too bad. Like, I just find a time usually pretty close to when we're supposed to record. So I actually... Because, like, I write shorthand versions, so I actually remember, like, what I was actually listening to. But I actually really enjoy doing, like, throwbacks, essentially. Like, the first 60 episodes, their quality is just, like, somewhere.
And I thought it got, like, better after the first 10. I can't believe we were bad for 60 episodes. You know, when you recommend a show to someone, you have to say, oh, the first season is bad.
That's Star Wars, The Clone Wars. The first season's painful. Then 2 and 3 get a little bit better. Then after that, it's amazing.
I'd agree. Yeah.
I'm sad that our show has the same problem.
Fairness, it was our first time recording anything. So
it was our first podcast ever. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, now we're used to things, so.
And I don't stutter quite as much, because I'm less nervous.
Yeah, there was nervous. There was the whole stutter thing in the episode I listened to as well, where, like, Taro said that your catchphrase was, I don't even remember what it was. But then you said that your catchphrase was something else, and you stuttered when you tried to say it. And it's like, yeah, is it really your catchphrase?
That's so mean. Anyway, it's time for the bits. I guess.
No, Aki, I think you should do them this time.
I was gonna say the same thing.
All right.
Do it.
Okay. So I haven't done them as often as you guys have, but. Thank you for listening to Zoo and Me on our website, zooand.me, or maybe even on Spotify or others podcast clients. Thank you for doing that. I will turn you inside out. We have an email address where you can send us private email at zooandme@proton.me. Or you can, if you want your private emails to be public, just put them on our comment section. Yeah. We don't read Spotify comments. Stop commenting there. I don't read them. Thanks. Let's see. I also have a blue sky, which is Akito without an E, .zooand.me. I also have a Tumblr, which is Akito with like two E's. Brass has a Tumblr, which is the Brass Bulldog, I think, or just Brass Bulldog. Just look it up. You'll find it. With no E's. So it's the Brass Bulldog.
The brass bulldog.
Okay, one E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fellow, did you have anything? I don't remember.
I have something with a lot of E's. You can find all of my art galleries and my Tumblr through emberepsilon.card.co. That's a lot of E's.
I'm really bad at spelling Ember Epsilon, but yes, that exists. And it's cool. Check it out.
There's not much new things, but like I feel like when I actually get Milk Her badge, I can actually post a digital version of that. So
hell yeah. Could you say the URL again?
EmberEpsilon.card with two R's .co.
Oh, it's co. Okay. Yep, thanks.
Yay.
I can't believe I wasn't following you on Tumblr. I guess there's nothing there, but...
Yeah, so. There's nothing there, but, like, you can still
not even any likes. Just follow Tumblr staff. Why do you even have Tumblr?
I can post art there. Like, the Safe for Work arts, because they banned porn.
Just stupid, but yeah. All right. I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, another episode, 1 week, like 2 weeks in a row, and now it's gonna be a break again, I think.
We're over 1 hour again. Way.
Way.
The next episode will probably be the Yarfurin special. We'll see how we're feeling.
And if you remember to record it.
Or Brass can do a solo episode. Way.
No, all the people I go for were guests are gonna be at EF.
Spade, Slick, and Aurora actually suggested that I do a solo episode. I'm not sure if they were like completely serious about it, but like
it would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Just listening to you ramble for an hour.
It would be so awkward to record.
I could do it. I could totally do it.
I think Velo has the stage presence to do that. Anyway, thank you for listening to Zoo and Me again.
Thank you.
And I hope you all have a wonderful evening.
Or morning.
No.
Or afternoon.
No.
No.
No. Nothing else.
Forever evening. Night.
Nope. Not even a forever night. Just evening. Evening's good. Evening. Nothing else. No. Nope.
What about like dusk?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty close to evening. So
I mean, yeah, true. It's a synonym.
I mean, yeah. Dusk. I hope you have a good dusk. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Goodbye.
Boy. Goodbye, moi moi.
Auf Wiedersehen, San Francisco.
Tschüssi.
Tschüssi.
Tschüssi. Tschüssi.